Good morning, everyone. I'm Christine Espina, and I'm here to share with you today about my capstone project that I recently completed with Dr. Betty Beckemeyer as my capstone chair. And my site preceptor, Marnie Story, who can't be with us today, she's the deputy director at Clark County, Clark County. So I have no relationship to disclose. And the basic objectives of my presentation today are just to describe some practice barriers to population-focused training and practice in public health nursing in Washington State, and then to describe some possible strategies to increase staff readiness for population-focused training and practice, and then to offer a practice model called the push-pull infrastructure model, which may assist in promoting evidence-based practice innovations such as population-focused training and practice. So we all know that there's a lot of national movement towards improving public health care, public health practice around population-based focused care. So there's just a list here that's public health and nursing specific. And there's also a lot of drivers in Washington State as well, which includes the WASALFA, which is the Washington State Association of Local Public Health Officials Strategic Plan, the APH chapter in Washington State Strategic Plan, which focuses around workforce development, and also the Department of Health Agenda for Change, which focuses a lot around competency and public health practitioners. We also know of the Council on Linkages, which provides some competencies for academic and practice settings around public health competencies. So some additional drivers for change towards moving towards population-focused care that's specific to public health nursing practice in Washington State include the Washington State CNE requirement, which was recently reinstated. So starting in 2014, every nurse has to document 45 CNE credits for licensure renewal, and it's recommended that CNE requirements should be chosen based on self-assessment and reflection when selecting education and training opportunities. And there's also a lot of population-based trainings available, which also may be an additional driver for population-based care as well. So just a quick refresher, which I'm sure we're all familiar with, the Council on Linkages core competencies, which provides basic competencies around 8 skill domains. And just recently, well, in May 2010, the Council on Linkages published 3 practice tiers, I'm sure you're all aware about. So tier 1 is for competency level for staff, for frontline staff. Tier 2 is for mid-level management, and tier 3 is executive. So just to give some guidance around job descriptions and job roles, the Council on Linkages provided more insight around what competency is for public health professionals, depending on the area of focus. So to give a little background of the group that I worked with for my capstone project, they are under the WASALFO group, which is, as I mentioned earlier, the Washington State Association of Local Public Health Officials. So WASALFO is a voluntary membership of top management from Washington State local health jurisdictions or local health districts. And so the Community Health Leadership Forum is a representative group of public health nursing leaders at the county level. And each 35 LHJs or districts are invited to be part of the forum. And so it's a group of dynamic public health nursing leaders who have been around for several decades and are really talking about some current relevant practice issues around public health nursing. And Dr. Betty Beckemeyer has worked with this group for several years now, so getting to work with them was such a privilege. So my partnership with the CHELF group, Community Health Leadership Forum group, started in December 2010 when the executive committee asked Dr. Beckemeyer and I to administer a competency self-assessment survey among their group. And so we did that, and they had done it before, at least once before, and so because they wanted to kind of see where they were in terms of any changes in levels of competency. And Dr. Beckemeyer has been working with this group around population-based training. And they asked that I administer the same survey in March, the following March, among their public health nursing staff and also their overall public health staff as well. And that was disseminated via the CHILF listserv, so it was an online survey. So in June 2011, at their quarterly meeting, I reported the survey results for their staff and leadership. And they wanted some more information because we know that surveys give only so much information. So in October and November last year, I interviewed 17 CHILF leaders to gather more information regarding their specific training needs around population-based care, and also to get an initial assessment of their perception of their staff's population-focused training needs. And last December, I reported the interview themes and made recommendations for training based on the survey and interview results. So what I'm going to share with you all today are is this last portion of the interview results and also make some recommendations for training. So in terms of the themes that emerged in response to this question, you can see here, and it's grouped around the Quad Council Public Health Nursing Competency Domains, which is public health nursing specific, based, focused on the Council on Linkages skill domains. So you can see the areas of green are the overlap of the areas of skill domains where CHILF leaders felt like they could use some more training and also they perceived their staff in using more training. And then you can see that there is a lot of overlap there. But for the sake of this presentation, I'm going to talk specifically around the leadership and systems thinking skills around CHILF leaders. So these are the themes that emerged just in around the skill domain. Just as I was listening to the CHILF leaders share about some of the areas of training that they saw for themselves and their staff, they asked around, you know, I would like more training around leading staff in transitioning to population-based work, and also leading as a public health nursing leader among administrators and other leadership, either in their own agency or community leaders, and also leading an advocacy effort in community and county. So in this presentation, I'm just going to focus on this first area of leadership, leading staff and transitioning to population-based work. So one of the CHILF leaders said, how do I get other health department staff up to speed with public health and help them see that we can't do it all? Because it's not mandated that we do population-based work. We need to start internally with getting other people up to speed on understanding why population-based work is important. How do I get other health department staff on board first so that the health district presents a united front, that we use all of our internal resources to be on the same page first and then to use the power of the people internally to go forth and do this work in the community? So this quote is getting is alluding to some practice barriers, such as variation of understanding about population-based practice internally within the department and within the agency, and also that larger practice changes are not mandated when the interview was conducted. So another quote that gives insight around leading staff to population-based training is, I think the barrier is anxiety around population-based terminology because staff automatically think they can't do work with individuals anymore. It comes down to being exposed to what population-based practice is, how it's being done in other areas, and how they can add tweak to what they're already doing, and reminding them it's how we impact more people. In my perspective, we don't stop doing individual services, but how can we do more upstream work at the same time? It's breaking it down that it's something they can do and mentoring them along the way. So this quote speaks to the needs for current population-based training to show how individual service can be delivered within the context of population-focused care, and also the need for leadership to support staff through the emotional aspect of practice change. So to give some insight around how to frame all these interview themes, this model is from Patient Education and Counseling Journal, and it's around adopting evidence-based cancer prevention and care innovations. So this practice model helped me think about how to make recommendations to the CHELF group. So this is called the push-pull infrastructure model, and it's pretty intuitive if you think about it, push-pull infrastructure. So push is your dissemination, so it's your evidence that's already out there. It's your active efforts to encourage the adoption of an innovation. So some examples are the population-based trainings that are already available, the active efforts to provide training for population-based care. It's the source of information or the supply, so the active efforts to increase likelihood of adoption. On the other side is your pull. It's your receiver readiness or your demand for an innovation. So this includes social and cultural norms among potential adopters. It could be the level of readiness for staff or a population to embrace the evidence or to begin to integrate evidence into practice. And it's not enough to have push and pull, we have to bring it together. So in the middle is your delivery capacity. So it's the needed infrastructure so push and pull can occur together. So some recommendations will be focused here. Some practical examples of an infrastructure include professional associations like APHA. It could be a practice-based research network. It could be a journal club. So the delivery capacity that brings evidence and practice together. So the way that I framed the interview themes was just around, you know, what are the drivers? So thinking about push, which I talked about briefly earlier, the agenda for change, the CNE requirements, the move for accreditation, the currently available population-focused training resources, and then the pull, which was elicited from the interview theme. So how can we encourage public health nursing workforce to begin to adopt population-focused care? So one of the recommendations is to focus on leadership development among public health nursing leadership, and then also to think about how practical training can be integrated into everyday workflow. And that's something that the CHELF leaders mentioned a lot was, we don't have time to attend trainings. We don't have a training budget with all these cuts in our budget. How do we do this? And so a lot of the CHELF leaders said, but what about on-the-job training? What if we begin to approach the things that we do in everyday practice to think, how is this tied to a system? How is this tied to policy advocacy? How is this tied to the population-focused principles? So how do we bring that together? Some of the CHELF leaders talked about wanting to have regional and peer trainings. That way, ideas can be exchanged. There can be region-specific gatherings to begin to talk about region-specific issues, and also leadership development modules and workshops integrated into CHELF meetings regularly. So as I was doing my search, I also asked about current population-based trainings that CHELF leaders used, and several of the CHELF leaders mentioned the New York Department of Health Learning Management System, which is a really comprehensive learning management system. It's based on an in-depth self-assessment that is organized around the eight core competencies. And you can design your self-assessment based on your job role, or you can choose based on competency skill domain. So this was just one example of an infrastructure or a practical training that anyone can utilize. So just to give a quick update around the work with the CHELF group, the CHELF members agreed to focus on the competency domains identified from the surveys and interviews and to focus on leadership development. They're also actively exploring other models of the needed infrastructure to adapt and replicate for Washington State. And just a couple of weeks ago, the CHELF group hosted a kickoff meeting with academic partners because they realized the value of partnering with academia and having students to address some of the issues that they don't have time for, they're interested in, but just simply don't have time for because of the current realities of public health practice. And also, I just wanted to give a quick update. Now that I've graduated, I work at the Washington Center for Nursing, which is the state's nursing workforce center. And so I am learning a lot about the nursing workforce in Washington State, and I encourage you to find out if you already partner with your state's Nursing Workforce Center, there's a lot of exciting initiatives going on. One thing that we're doing at Washington Center for Nursing, we have the Nursing Action Coalition, which is part of the Campaign for Action, and it's all around the Institute of Medicine Future of Nursing recommendations. So I really, really encourage public health nursing to be at the table as all these initiatives are being discussed around nursing education, so and practice and leadership. So the work groups that we have in Washington State are these three areas: education, leadership, and practice. So I just encourage you ways to get involved, because there's a lot of exciting initiatives going on at the state and national level. Thank you.
Anything?
I just would like to invite Christine to become a part of the Practice Workforce Task Force, hopefully soon to be creating a PHN section.
Thank you.
This is really great work, and it would be really fun.
Thank you. And I just want to acknowledge Dr. Beckemeyer's partnership with the CHELF group. I couldn't have done this without her commitment to practice experts in Washington State. So. Yep, they're free. And that was one of the things I was looking for when I was doing this work, was CNEs that are free, because honestly, we don't have a lot of resources right now. We don't have a lot of training. The training budgets are completely just diminishing, and so what's already out there, and how can we share ideas and share resources? So.
On that slide, I'm not sure if we got that the website. So is it New York?
Yes, if you just Google it, so New York Department of Health Learning Management System, and I'm sure maybe some of you all have heard of Public Health Nurse Ready. That's the program.
Uh-huh,
PHN Ready. And they also have a leadership module as well. So I know that some of the CHELF members talked about utilizing the leadership module that's available under this website.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Christy, I might add that, you know, you talked about the pushback of being what was going on with the population folks training, et cetera. And a lot of that was related to what was going on under the CRISP, if some of you have heard of the CRISP work led by Michelle Issel here, who was the PI of that project. And so there have been some conversations around CRISP too, which has had a big influence.
Yes, and just providing a little bit more insight into what allowed this project to happen, there has been active efforts with Dr. Beckemeyer and Dr. Issel around working with three LHJs and around a lot of population-based training. And so it's interesting to see these CHELF leaders really stepped up and were the early adopters and encouraging the rest of the CHELF group to adopt and think about population-based care and training in leading staff. So it's interesting because, you know, even looking at the push factors as well, like it's not something that just happened. It's years and years of partnerships and trust building and collaboration. And yeah, so